So wait, tell me what you thought about resolving the energy crisis.
Just plugging the... You take a power strip and just plug it into itself?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason that shouldn't work.
So anyway, what are our questions like this week?
We have some decent ones.
Okay. We blew through all my... I think we did all my questions last week. And I legitimately got none this week, so...
Yeah.
So what are our questions like this week? Hey, JD.
Huh?
How was your week?
Eh. It was okay. I have one little screenshot here that has four questions, and this one that has quite a few more.
Holy crap, so we got a ton.
Not really. Not comparatively. We've had some weeks where we get a lot.
Our first few weeks, we got a ton. Like, we got a bunch of questions.
Yeah, and then I think people realized that they didn't care to listen to our podcast.
No, they don't actually listen to it. They just like asking questions. Because I know that for a fact, because I had somebody ask me the same question twice after we had answered their question.
Yeah, we've answered a question twice at least once. But let's just go ahead and get right into it, I guess.
All right.
Why don't we only take... So a lot of these are the same person asking me a couple of questions.
Okay.
So we'll just take one from people each time.
Okay.
So let's just do it in order of... like the first asked.
Okay, go on.
First we have, why do people go to the gym if they don't work out?
You know, that's actually a great question. Normally, like, if you would have asked me that 2 years ago, I would have said that's a stupid question because people go to the gym to work out. That's not true. There are actually people who go to the gym just to be seen being at the gym.
Yeah, a lot of people go there and they'll just take pictures.
That's a legitimately real thing, and that upsets me deeply.
Well, it's like a facet of society, you know?
Like, I'm sure gyms don't care. They make money anyway. Like,
yeah,
the people,
paying,
like
people,
yeah, they
get,
they make money. But
doing.
For those of us who are at the gym who are actually, like, exercising, looking very disgusting by the time we're done being at the gym and seeing these people come in, like, looking all nice, like, they look like they did themselves up to go to the gym. That bugs me. I go to the gym wearing, I went to the gym wearing a beanie once.
I go like, wearing a beanie all the time. I have too much hair.
Yeah. Like I style my hair sometimes, but for the most part, I'll just wear a hat or a beanie. And, like, my mismatched basketball shorts and tennis shoes and just some random t-shirt from when I was in high school or something. And, like, just, like, things that I can get all nasty in. And I go to the gym and I look horrible. And I see these people walk in, they look beautiful, they don't do anything, and then they leave.
Yeah.
That upsets me.
I don't really pay attention to the other people that are at the gym. But I don't know why they go there. They go there for attention, they go there for clout. Sometimes they go there because they want to do something or... whatever, like, sometimes maybe they do have some kind of, like, weird performance anxiety thing, and they're trying to go to the gym to be healthy, but they just can't exercise with other people around.
I'm glad you have more faith in humanity than I do.
But, honestly, I'm not too concerned with what other people are doing in public spaces that they're paying to be in, as long as it's not illegal.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, still upsets me, but...
Yeah, I just kind of try not to look at any of the other people at the gym anyway.
Alright, next question.
So this one we got from... a good friend of mine, and she just asked us two words. She just said reproductive right.
Right? Like right. One?
Yeah, so I assume she wants us to talk a little bit about reproductive rights.
This is dangerous territory we're treading in right now.
That depends on if you think you have a dangerous opinion.
Well, it depends on what side you're on.
That's true.
Either side is a dangerous opinion, depending
yeah,
on what side you're
on. The perspective, I suppose. My bottom line... with the whole argument, the whole conversation for me. And remember, we're a couple of dudes in a basement. We're not experts, we're not professionals, and we're definitely not people who've had to live anything. My bottom line with reproductive rights is that I believe that we've gone too far with what we think are human rights. And I mean that for a lot more than just your ability to have an abortion or these other things. I don't believe marriage is a human right. I don't believe the Constitution should protect any form of marriage. I don't believe that... There are very few things that I believe the government should have any say in whether you can or cannot do it. So I probably should open with that. So, like, really quickly, what I mean to say is I don't think it's the government's business at all what people are and aren't doing, as long as it's not causing actual genuine harm to another person.
So let me dumb this down to fourth grade level for myself to make sure I'm getting this right. You believe that humans do have inherent rights, but they should not be dictated by a governmental body.
Right, because, well, the question just becomes, like, where do your rights come from? Like, who provided the rights? The government? The government? Who gave the government the ability to do that?
It's right? Like, if there was no government, you would have these rights anyway. You would have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because wouldn't be a government that would need to mandate that for you.
Yeah, so the point of what I'm saying is the government shouldn't have really much business in regulating what I can and can't do. I know that their job is to make sure that we're safe and that we're all, like, you know,
getting along,
getting things to done. Like, they help us with roads and schools, and they'll help us with those kinds of things. They'll maintain society while we live in it, and that's fine as long as they do, like, the bare minimum. I don't want them being involved hardly.
So government, so you're translating again, is your belief that the government is there to provide the physical infrastructure for society and not much else?
Basically.
Okay.
And, like, they're there to be a neutral third party to resolve disputes, you know?
The judicial system.
The judicial system exists for a reason, but, like, the executive, the legislative, those kinds of systems, I get why they exist, and they exist for decent reasons, but I feel like...
Well, they were created for decent reasons.
I feel like the problem is that they have too much authority, they have too much power. There's too many things they cover, and I think they just need to be less involved in everyone's rights. Like, if somebody wants to throw up a building that, and they say, oh, people of all orientations can come here and be married, I don't care. Because I don't believe marriage is a right. I don't believe the government should enforce one way or the other. That's not a human right. That's something that humans have the option to.
So do you believe that marriage outside of a governmental system is anybody should be allowed to get married?
I believe that it's not my business who does what they want to do. Like,
so do you believe that people should be allowed to do that if they want to do that outside of a governmental system?
I don't care. Like, if
so,
I...
So you do believe that anybody should be allowed to do that?
Again,
just because...
my bottom line stance is I don't care what people are doing as long as it does not prevent me from doing what I want to do and as long as what I want to do doesn't prevent them from being able to do the same.
Okay, so you do believe that marriage, you do believe that, like, marriage is a human right, but it shouldn't be mandated by a governmental body.
No, I believe that marriage is a option that anybody can, go into, but I don't believe that any government should be able to mandate it, because who gave you the right? Where does the right come from? Because human rights have to come from somewhere. They're not just something you're born with. If you don't believe in a god, then the rights must come from the government, and the government has the power to give
you rights. So you're doing it from an agnostic standpoint?
From an agnostic standpoint, sure.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, if there is no God, and there is no government, then you have no human rights because nobody could give them to you except yourself, but you can't give yourself a right. When you are fresh out of the womb, you cannot give yourself a right. So who gives you the right? Your parents? They defend you, they give you the right to life by raising you.
Wow, so you're claiming that human rights are a social construct.
They're
a
completely social construct. They don't exist.
That is fascinating. I've never even thought of that.
Unless you believe in a God, human rights are a social construct. Because if you believe in a God, then God has given you rights. But the question then becomes, why didn't he give them to everyone, right? You look at a third world country and you say, oh, these people are living in terrible conditions. They're not given the rights that I've been given by my government that I created. Human rights are an absolutely artificial concept that we've come up with because there are things that we don't want people to be able to take away from us. In the state of Utah, it is your constitutional right to hunt and fish. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? That was, I can't even remember what it was on the voting registrations, but I looked at the argument for it and the argument against it. The argument for it was this big patriotic speech about how God put us on this earth to work the land and eat animals and whatnot. And
appealing to the Utah
right.
demographic.
And it's like, okay, that's really cool. That's a very patriotic speech. And then the against it was nobody's trying to take away your right. So then that gets you thinking, like, okay, well then why would they need it to be a constitutional?
I remember
right
that. I remember voting on that. I totally remember being being on the ballot.
And it's like, human rights are this entirely, like, false concept that we've come up with because where do they come from? Where you go so far back in history. I mean, you go back to, like, you look at, like, Mayan, Aztec, Incan civilizations. I believe it's the Mayans did the ritual sacrifice where they'd pull your heart out.
80,000 people in one day.
Yeah, and they just figured that was something that should happen. They didn't feel like in that moment they had a right to live.
No.
And that's because the rights are this artificial construct. Like what are some basic rights you have? You have the right to free speech.
Right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
Free speech, religion, press. Right. What happens when the government takes those away? Then they weren't human rights. They were governmental rights. And the government only had the power to give you the rights because we gave them that power 200 years ago.
They were conditional rights.
Like, your rights only exist as much as they
Yeah, when the government enacts martial law, all of those rights are taken away.
Right, and then here's another thing to
consider. Like the Insurrection Act and all that.
Like, look at a homestead, right? Like, if you made a village, if you made a small village...
We should do that.
...with your own constitution, then the human rights that apply are the rights given to them by the government of that town, right?
Yeah.
So that's why you get situations like Poland, where, like, 90-something percent of Poland has declared itself anti-LGBT zones. Because the government, the people, are in favor of that more than they aren't. So, no matter how you stand on this situation, you don't have the right to practice or be a part of any sexual orientation that you may be a part of. You don't have that right in Poland. You have that right in the United States. But in Poland, you don't have that right. Why? If it's a human right, if it's a natural human right, then you should have it everywhere because it was given to you by something. But if it's a societal right, which I believe all rights kind of are, then it was given to you by the government, and it wasn't given to you by some higher power, it wasn't given to you by yourself, because if it was given to you by yourself, nobody would be able to stop you, right? That's why human rights are just an artificial concept almost entirely. Like, there's something that we've just made up, because we had things we don't want people to take away from us, and what happens if you have a community that wants people to take those things away, that wants different things?
They cease to be human rights.
They become their rights change.
They become conditional rights.
But what if I still think it's a human right?
It can't be a human right, because if it was a human right, everyone would naturally gravitate toward that.
Okay, so what are things that people naturally gravitate towards?
Not murdering.
Maybe. But then you look at, like, that's ritual true. That's and a, religious that's
a good
killings.
Point. That's a good point. That's a great point.
And then you might say, oh, freedom of religion. But then you look at the Middle East, and the Middle East is a melting pot of people from all these different faiths killing each other because they're of a different faith. So right to freedom of religion is not a right.
That's not
many
a human
faiths
right.
Believe that they should kill you if you're not a part of their faith. That makes it not a natural human right. So your natural human rights are really, really limited in concepts. You have governmental and societal rights, and that's a conversation I don't even care about. Because, you know what, if you are being prevented from doing something that you want to do, then I am in favor of making that happen as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, right? Because I believe in God, I believe in free will, I believe in agency. God put us here and he gave us the ability to choose and he gave us the ability to make our own way. So if what you're doing I am morally opposed to, I will not help you do it, but I will defend your ability to make your choice yourself. Because as great as it would be if I could just hold a gun to the head of the world and be like, you follow the standards I want you to follow or else, that takes away their ability to choose, which I believe is the only human right, the ability to make a choice. And some people, you know, they have that stripped from them, but that's not the problem. At everyone's core is the desire to choose for themselves. And I think that is the only human right we've been given.
This is a level of thinking that is fascinating to watch you do, because like, you know, sometimes you will just kind of ramble on about stuff, and like, just when, like, you and I are driving together or something, sometimes you'll just ramble on stuff because there's time and you can do it. Sometimes I interpret it as you just processing information, but sometimes you'll get into these crazy, like, deep, profound, intellectual speeches. Like, that whole time I was captivated the whole time you were delivering that, because that's something I legitimately have never thought about. I've never taken into consideration the fact that, like, there are really no human rights except for the right to make a choice for or against whatever.
And, I mean, everybody's free to draw their own conclusions. That's just where I've come to with thinking about this.
Well, it's a new way of thinking. It's fascinating.
Well, because the conversation actually started a few months ago when I said to Brett, I said something to him like, if you don't believe in God, then you have no human rights. And he and I talked about that for a long time, because that was just like a random sentence that popped into my head.
One of those things that you throw out sometimes.
Right, and like, sometimes I'll just throw those things out like as a, like a sort of like, let's see where this goes. It's not something that I necessarily believe. But the development of that has come down to, it doesn't matter what you believe in, the only natural human right is the desire and right to choose for yourself. Because, like,
if you believe in God.
Whether you do or don't.
But I thought you said if you don't believe
in God, then the situation becomes, well, where did the rights come from? And that's a whole conversation that you can deal with on your own.
Yeah.
The bottom line of what I'm saying is the only human right that we have been born with is the right to choose. And whether you believe, if you believe in a God, then the right was given to you by God. If you don't believe in a God, I have no idea where the right came from. And I haven't put enough thought into it from the perspective of an atheist, because I don't really think from the perspective of an atheist.
So if somebody prohibits you from a right to make a choice that is not harming someone else, that is infringing upon your human right.
In a way. Now, I don't believe that it is a human right, but I believe that human decency dictates that we should be good to each other.
Yeah.
Which is why it's like a sort of selectional right. Like, I'm willing to choose not to make choices that'll hurt you on the condition that you choose to do the same. So we're both using our right to maybe restrict ourselves slightly, but that is what, that's the price that we pay for safety, freedom, society, peace. And, I mean, if you keep this conversation going, it kind of breaks down into, that spreads into a lot more things than just your ability to choose.
Well, that's what my mind's going at a million miles an hour right now.
Because if you think about it, like, every crime is removing somebody's ability to choose.
Are you advocating for anarchism?
No, but I am advocating for, like, a lot of things.
Just the removal of governmental overreach into your daily life. I think that
literally everybody should live in, like, a small village that is self-governing. And not living in mega societies like we have today.
Communalism.
Yeah, I think that we should, you know,
balkanize. Communalism, communism world. Are two different things.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, everybody should still be able to practice their trades, still be able to do whatever they want to do. But I kind of look at, like, not feudalism, but I look at, like, the structure of, like, the villages within, like, medieval feudalism, where it's like, okay, this village has its baron, and it has its workers that do the jobs that they have been doing for ages. Like, you'll get the random dude that's like, oh yeah, I'm a toy maker. My family's been toy makers for 200 years. That's just what we do. And he is supported by the fact that he probably also owns a small plot of land where he makes his food, and he probably built his own house, and he just sells toys to the community, and that money doesn't leave the community because it's probably only accepted within the community anyway, because it's currency they decided was worth using. So it's kind of this societal structure that I advocate for is, you know, maybe a couple hundred people, maybe a couple thousand if you have a big enough, like, plot of land. But basically everybody works for what they earn. Like, you work for your own food. Food is not something that you're necessarily buying and selling. Maybe you trade it. Like, maybe Martha over there grows some fantastic corn and I grow sweet peppers. So we have a deal going where I'll trade her a couple of sweet peppers for the corn, right? But then we have some kind of, like, imaginary currency. Like, oh, we had a rock tumbler, like, 400 years ago that we used to turn a bunch of rocks into these really pretty smooth stones. Mm-hmm. And we use those for money. Because they're not worth anything, but we just use them as,
like... But in your society, they are worth something because right. You have collectively decided
because we've decided that it's worth something. Or, like, maybe it's backed by something. Maybe, like, one of those is worth a certain amount of grain. You know, like... But then you use these things to purchase goods. And as great as that would be, it does a couple of things that are pretty detrimental. It puts us back really far technologically. If your village does not have access to certain resources, then you kind of shaft yourself technologically in a few ways.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do believe that the Industrial Revolution leading it down to what's now like the technological revolution that the world is experiencing.
The Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Basically, since 2007 when the iPhone was announced, I believe that society was entirely ruined. Like, if there was never iPhones, if the internet never really got big, if we were all still using landlines and used satellite TV...
And talking like you and I are right now.
Yeah, and this is, like, just sort of how it was, you know? Like, cars could advance. I don't care how much cars advance.
Yeah.
But if we restricted...
It's all the interconnection.
It's globalism. Because I've talked to Brett about this, too. Globalism... All things have to have an ending, right? What is the ending of globalism?
One world government?
No.
Really?
Because if you think about globalism, what is globalism?
The exchange of cultures and trade throughout the world.
Basically, right? The end of globalism is, there's only two possible endings. Either humanity becomes a hive mind because every idea that could be had is had by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or the entire world government collapses and we fall into worldwide anarchy. Like, we'll either nuke each other to death or lose our souls. That's the end product of globalism. As great as globalism is for a time, it leads to either nobody ever has new ideas, or we all get so angry at each other that nobody exists anymore. Those are basically the only two options. And this is kind of a paraphrase, because what I'm saying now, the whole thing with globalism is stuff that Brett said. Because, again, for reference, Brett is a sociologist.
Mm-hmm.
So he and I have a lot of conversations about stuff like this, just because it fascinates me so much.
That's why I talked to you guys about, like, when I was researching fascism, that's why I want to talk to you guys about it, because I was like, these are the only people who will, like, actually approach us objectively without getting mad at me about anything I say.
Well, it's because that's like, a bottom line thing. That's, like, a disclaimer that I probably should have said at the beginning. Like, so many of my opinions aren't real. They're just sort of things that it's, like, I'm willing to have a conversation about anything. And I'm
thoughts that you have. And things that you think about and things that you wonder about are not immediately your opinions.
Right, and it's, like, as I develop... Sometimes, like, I'll say things on the podcast that it's like, that's not a fully developed thought. That's not something that I'm going to, like, live by. But that is something that I'm going to say right now.
This could lead into a fascinating conversation, though, because I think about this a lot. And I've come to the conclusion. I've come to the conclusion absolutely, with complete certainty, no doubt in my mind. If you say something and you make a claim, it comes out of your mouth. It means your brain did put those thoughts together, and that is a belief that you hold in some capacity or the other. But it's not always founded in complete truth. It could be founded in emotion, it could be founded in anger, or it could be founded in an experience you've had in the past that has shaped the way you view a certain situation, even though consciously you know better than that.
I think that there was some, like, horrible Tumblr post I saw forever ago, or it was like a tweet or something.
Where I love,
like,
citing Tumblr. Tumblr.
Yeah, I do it on papers. I cite my own dreams on papers. Like, I'll say, this appeared to me in a dream in my citations page.
I love that. I should do that.
Did I tell you about the essay where I just hit as many Pokemon references as I could?
Later.
It was awesome. but...
Pokemon Season 4, Episode 14.
No, it was
minute,
stuff like...
Minute blank blank.
Like, I quoted, like, Professor Oak and...
I would, from, like, Pokemon I would, Blue.
Yeah. And I'd, like, misspell words, so it was Pokemon names.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that the Tumblr post was, it said something like, your first thought is what you've been conditioned to think, and your second thought, like your follow-up thought, is what you actually believe.
Mm.
So I agree with you to an extent, where it's like, your first thought is just sort of what your circumstances, what your life has led you to immediately believe about a situation. But if you take a second pause, think about it, that second thought that you form is your actual opinion. So, like, if I walk, let me think. So when I first reached Jamaica, there were times where I would, I had a companion. Okay, let's skip ahead. I had a, because I never really struggled that much in Jamaica with, like, the society things. I was just there to have a good time.
It was what it was.
Yeah. But I had a companion who was very nervous at night, which, to be fair, Jamaica can be very dangerous at night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to him... what he was conditioned to believe is that he's in this strange foreign country in a very dangerous place, so he should be afraid. Whereas on the other side of that stick is, like, me and one of my companions were walking down the road, and we walked through a street party, and a guy came up to us, like, super angry looking, and he's, like, you know, trying to, like, intimidate me. And I looked at him, and I was just tired. I wanted to go home. And he's like, he says to me, he's like, what you doing over here? And I was like, I'm just walking, man. I'm trying to go home. And he's like, cool, cool. And he, like, fist bumped me and walked away. My companion was like, dude, that was, like, so scary. Like, I was terrified there. What? How'd you do that? And I was like, do what? I just told him I wanted to go home.
He asked a question. I told him the truth.
And it's like retrospectively, like, if I actually thought about that situation that I was walking to, because I was just walking and I was like, oh, it's just a Jamaican street party. Like, these happen all the time. If I actually thought about it, I probably would have put a couple, like, pieces of necessary evidence together. Like, oh, this is one of the more dangerous parts of the country. Some people were recently killed around here. These people are definitely, like, on some drugs and drunk. Like, they're not in the right minds. And I just saw them and I was like, yep, Jamaicans walking. But it's that's like a silly example. But then you look at other stuff like I love Pokemon. Okay. They recently announced remakes of the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl games.
Really?
Yeah, they look
good.
They don't look really good. But I say they look really good, right? Because my first thought, I love Pokemon so much, I've basically conditioned myself to, if I see a new Pokemon thing, I say, that looks really good. And then I look at it more later, and I'm like, that's so scary.
There's another ring at the door.
I looked at it a little bit more, and I was like, I don't really like the way that it looks, but I'm probably going to buy it and play it anyway, because I like Pokemon. But the first thought was, that looks awesome! And then I really thought about it, I was like, wait a second. No, it doesn't. they did like a bad job with it. Because you know how the old Pokemon games were a top-down style? So your body looked kind of silly?
Mm-hmm.
The company that Nintendo outsourced to make the remakes decided that that wasn't a top-down thing and it was just like a chibi art style. So like when you're in the overworld, you just have a big head and a little body and you're running around in this 3D plane and it looks kind of silly.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you get to the 2D cutscenes and stuff, or the regular cutscenes, and you're like regular height.
So do you think that, this is the example that just came into my head that could appeal to people who don't like Pokemon or don't understand it. Do you think that's what happened with the Star Wars remakes?
Yeah. I think that...
Or not remakes, but the Star Wars reboot.
Yeah, people
immediately didn't want to like it because it wasn't Lucasfilm.
Well, and I could go off about why I don't like it objectively.
Or people really want... Like, okay, so here, I wanted to like it, and because I wanted so badly to like it, I did. When Force Awakens came out, I loved it. And when people started presenting to me evidence that it literally was A New Hope, I was like, well, I mean, yeah, like, you're right on pretty much every point here. But I still really like it because I went into it wanting so badly to enjoy it.
And, I mean, I kind of did the same thing, but I walked out of those movies really disappointed with that trilogy.
I loved Force Awakens. I mean...
Force Awakens was fine. The problem was they had the director switches and they had a lot of things
going
on.
There were a lot of internal issues going on.
There were internal issues, and Kathleen Kennedy's been bad for Star Wars since she's been in charge of Star Wars, and...
Well, and it goes into a lot of other things, like The Last Jedi had some political statements in it, and there were people who, anytime any sort of politics are brought up that opposes their viewpoint, they will immediately hate anything that has to do with
that situation.
And I don't
think politics has a place in media.
Well, especially in Star Wars,
I think. Well, in film and television, politics has its place when you're talking about, like, real-world things, or when you're exaggerating things, mm-hmm. you know? But when it's, like, a modern, relevant political stance, which they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
It won't last. Like, look at the story of the Scarlet Pimpernel, right?
Yeah.
The Scarlet Pimpernel, they're fighting against a tyrannical government. It doesn't have any real references to what's pop culture in France or in the world at the time. It's just a story of men opposing a tyrannical government to save their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that makes it timeless, because you can relate to that at any point in time. As long as governments are around the world, there will be a tyrannical government somewhere that you can relate it to.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at something where it's like, when they have really specific imagery and really specific wording about things that just happened, that doesn't last. That's why, like, older seasons of... That's why... That's why The Simpsons, its first, like, 10 seasons were decent. And that's why new episodes of South Park are funny if you watch them the day they came out.
Yeah.
And then they're not the day after.
And then they're aged. Like, you watch them and they're aged.
They're aged. It just feels old. And
if you watch it, like, 6 months later, you're like, oh, this came out during that.
And that's one of those things where it's like, well, what's the point then? You are intentionally setting an expiration date on your art.
So when people make political stances, it is... Ooh, I just had a thought. I'm gonna make a claim here.
Okay.
When you put politics into your art, you are violating the sanctity of art because you are stealing the timelessness from the art itself, which is what art is designed to be, and you are taking away the person experiencing the art's ability to interpret it however they want.
Yeah, in a lot of ways I agree with that. And one thing I'd say is, like, art, when it stands on its own, is art, right? Mm-hmm. And art has a lot of purposes. As soon as art's purpose is to establish and direct and, like, get across a political message, it is no longer art, it's politics disguised as art. Because politics demands that you have a bias. If you know anything about politics, you instantly have a bias. Even if you only know a little bit, you 100% chance know more about one side than another, which gives you a bias. And because of that, art, which is supposed to be subjective, becomes objective, and you must now agree with the artist's bias to interpret and enjoy the art the way it was meant to be. So I believe that politics ruins art and turns art from art into politics. Once politics gets involved in anything, unless it's a generalization, right? Like, you can't have things that are very specifically, very directly relevant to now. It has to be timelessly relevant. It has to be, this is X, Y, or Z. This is... I can't say, oh, you probably made that during the COVID pandemic, right? So, like, if I...
Dude, we're almost out of that. It's going to be... It's going to cease being, we're in the pandemic to remember that pandemic. Dude, it's going to be weird.
I don't think so, because I barely talk to anybody.
Go on.
Anyway, but you look, like, I have an idea for a movie. And part of the idea for the movie is that somebody who, like, it's a, one of the aspects of it is
this movie that you've told me about?
It's the road trip one.
Yeah.
The guy's lost his job. And the problem with
writing, I didn't hear that part of the plot. That's new.
Well, it's at the beginning. Part of the plot is, like, he lost his, in my head, originally it was going to be that he lost his job and, like, his, like, older dad died of a disease during a pandemic. But then I was thinking about it, it's like, I don't know if I want to do those things as the reasons, because then it dates it. It makes it so if I go 40 years into the future, people won't care about watching it because it'll be 40-year-olds that never experienced the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They won't understand. And they won't like it because they can't relate to it. It removes the relatability by making it so the inciting incident is something that they don't relate to. If you can't possibly relate to the inciting incident, unless it's absolutely fantastical, then why would I care? Like, why do I care about your hero? Your hero goes from their ordinary world to this extraordinary adventure, and the reason they did that was something I don't relate to, but people are supposed to. If their average man is supposed to relate to your hero, then your hero cannot be anything other than average.
That's a good quote.
I just said it. I'm done. We're good for today. I've said enough.
That was a pretty good episode, though, I think. I think people are going to like it.
I hope so, but I don't care. Tell me if you want. I'm not going to listen. Haha.
Anyway,
you got us on the sign off today.
We didn't actually answer the question.
Reproductive rights?
Yeah. Oh, those are not a question, so we don't technically need to answer it. Basically, in this podcast right now, I'm not going to take a firm stance on that, but I wholeheartedly agree with JD's assessment that the government should not have a say in what we're allowed to do.
Yeah, and regarding that statement, just talking to you now, Eden, I also will not be answering that directly on this podcast, because as great as it is to have opinions, which I do have a stance on this question, I'm not going to just put it out there in a way where it's not a conversation.
Yes.
If I were talking to you, then yes, I would absolutely be willing to have that conversation. I'd be absolutely willing to hear why you have the stance you have. Whether or not that agrees with me, which I'm not, I'm trying very hard to make it seem like as he could be either way as possible here, because that's how I need you guys to interpret this. Because whether we agree or not, I want to be able to hear why you hold what you hold, and I want you to be able to hear why I hold what I hold, without it being, oh, yay or nay, and then you can just sit and be fuming about it for a few days. Like, I'm not in favor of doing that to myself or my friends.
I would agree with that.
So, for now, we said what we said. I assume we mean the best, and Tanner's going to sign us off now.
Yeah. All right. Ready? Yep. 1, 2, 3.